You may be seated. It's all about praising God. It's all about Him. Not about us. It's about Him. And I don't know, sometimes those songs sort of transport a person where you're just right there before the throne. And yeah, someday we're going to be there. And I can't wait. So anyway, welcome. Whether you're here physically or you're here online, we welcome you this morning. May you feel God's presence in a special way as we learn about sacrifice. And, of course, we learn about God and worship Him, bow down before Him. So let's start with our readings. Brother John.
Good morning. The first lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 through 22. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago. Then God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism and now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers, in submission to Him. The second reading is from Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all. It would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God.'" First he said, "Sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law." Then he said, "Here I am. I've come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which he can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is a covenant I made with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Here ends the second reading.
Today's gospel is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather in your name and in your presence, Lord, knowing that you're here among us. May we hear clearly from you this morning, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our very spirits. Open up the word to us, that we may connect with you more deeply. Amen. Continuing our journey through 1 Peter here. Peter's been through a lot, of course, in the times when Jesus was alive, you know, following him, being one of the main three disciples, denying him, being restored, and then becoming a leader in the early church. As we read through Acts, Peter and John are Peter's probably the main leader, but John as well, and some others. And he's going around making disciples of everybody that he comes into contact with, pretty much. He's following the Great Commission. He's going, therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them and bringing the word, bringing hope along with it. And then later on in life, while he's in prison, he sits down and writes a couple of letters here that have been included in Scripture. And here, again, we see a more mature Peter nearing the end of his life and sort of giving a pep talk to Christians, telling them what's important and how to carry on, because he'll soon be gone. He knows, of course, God's presence will always be there. That's faithful. And that's here today, and that's here forever. Okay, God's presence. But he's just giving his final words here in these two letters. And these were spread all around the area, then all around the Mediterranean to all the churches that it started. And they're still spread around the world today, which is pretty cool. That it just goes on and on until Jesus comes back. So today's reading starts out, "It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." All right, suffering is part of life. Is there anybody here that's never suffered before? Okay, so you can all identify, right? Everybody? All right. Now, you can suffer for doing bad, and that's, you learn that as a little kid, right? You run towards the street or something like that you're not supposed to, and you end up getting a little suffering on your backside, all right? I mean, and that's deserved suffering, okay? We expect that. You do something wrong, there's a price, there's a penalty to pay. Of course, you're going to suffer for that. But here, Peter says, it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. To suffer for doing good? Does that even make sense? You haven't done anything wrong. Why should you suffer? You've been following God's word faithfully. You've been living it out. You've been representing him, everything else, and yet you're going to suffer? Well, Jesus says we will suffer and be persecuted. Absolutely. And during this time again, when Peter wrote this, Nero is emperor. Rome is about to, or has caught on fire. There's a little dispute on exactly when it was written, but it was during Nero's reign. He wanted someone to blame, and he picked out the Christians. And a lot of Christians ended up suffering. For decades, for centuries, people suffered a lot for being a Christian, for loving others, for standing up for what's right. Yeah, they were persecuted, they were put to death, they were imprisoned and everything else. They suffered for doing good. But today we shouldn't have to worry about that, right? Yeah. Suffering for doing good? No. For being a Christian? Anybody going to persecute you for being a Christian? For saying that we should love one another and be nice to others? But yet it does happen. Absolutely. We are many times considered to be bigoted and all kinds of other stuff. And well, if we're representing Christ faithfully, I would suggest that should not really happen. But Jesus said it will, and absolutely it's going to. So yeah, go ahead and stand firm in your faith. Be strong, be courageous, and stand firm in a loving way. That's the thing, though. Not a judgmental way, but in a loving way. And yes, people will speak ill of you at times. You're not going to be burned or persecuted to the point of put in prison or killed, probably. But we have to stand firm. There's no doubt about it. But when it comes to suffering for doing good, Christ is the ultimate example. Did he do good? Yeah. Did he ever do wrong? No. But did he suffer? Yes. Of course, there was a physical suffering. When he is scourged, when he is whipped, when he is beaten, when he is spit upon, when he is slapped, when he is nailed to a cross and left to hang there to die, slowly suffocating as the muscles in his chest, he can't support himself anymore. It was a horrible way to die. It was meant to make an example. The Romans were fond of this method. If there was an uprising, they'd crucify hundreds, at times thousands, along a road, prominently displayed as a warning to others. These people, when they're crucified, many times just a little bit above ground level, a little bit above eye level, so they can't quite touch the ground, just hanging there where people can come up to them and insult them and everything else. It was ugly. It was probably one of the more cruel forms of death out there. And it was very real. So Jesus suffered that, yes. But remember, we're not only physical beings, we're also mental, emotional, and spiritual, right? And we have to maintain our health in all those dimensions as well. A lot of people pay attention to their physical health, but are they neglecting their spiritual health? Or the emotional health? Or the mental health? It's all tied together. Did Jesus suffer mentally as well? I would say yes, absolutely. Did he suffer emotionally? Seeing his friends desert him? Being abuse and scorn heaped upon him? Yeah, that's going to get you. It's going to hurt your feelings. Did he lash out in return? No. And that's superhuman. Someone hurts us physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. Our first instinct, of course, is to lash back. Jesus somehow did not. And wow. And spiritually, was he hurt? My God, why have you forsaken me? He was. He was this strange mixture of human and, you know, true man and true God throughout this time. But yeah, he suffered as a real person. And he showed us the way to respond with love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he's in anguish, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, he is asking that his tormentors be forgiven. Wow. Respect. I don't know too many people that can do that one. So yes, he did suffer for doing good. And he was the ultimate example of doing that. We suffer. Some people will complain about having a pebble in their shoe. You know, big whoop, take it out. And then some people would rather complain about than take it out. Just so they have something to complain about, right? Maybe you've known some people like that. They have to have something to complain about. They'll take action, fix it, all right? But try to faithfully follow Jesus. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are called to represent him to the world, but to represent his character as well. To forgive others, to love others, to the extent that he did, which we as humans can't. But this shows the depth of the sacrifice that he made. When you think about it, it was really something else. I've been reading a book on the life of Jesus lately, and the author said, okay, now we're going to get to the crucifixion. If you have a weak stomach, skip to the next chapter. And yeah, I read through that chapter, and I agree with what he said. It's people sometimes should skip ahead. So this sacrifice, we're going to get back to the sacrifice. Indeed, that's the main thing for today. But first of all, let's just briefly address what happens here as well. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, amen, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people ate and all were saved through water. So he went to preach to spirits in prison. That one is tough to figure out. I did a lot of research on that this week. And what I came to is all the theologians are still debating what the heck that means, because they don't know either, okay? So if you're confused by that, don't worry. Don't be feeling alone, all right? I'm confused by it too. There are a number of theories there. Maybe he was preaching through Noah to the people that were sinning at that time. That's one that's out there. The most prominent one is the spirits in prison are spiritual beings or the dark angels that decided to follow Satan when they fell from heaven. And a bunch of them have been imprisoned. And he was down there then after he was crucified to announce the victory. To announce the victory, which, yeah, the victory of the cross. That sin had been overcome by one-time sacrifice for all. So that seems to be the prevailing theory in interpreting this, but again, it's still open. And if you've got other theories, hey, put them out there. People are wanting to hear them. So that part, agreed, is a little confusing. Okay. So the water then from the earth flood symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. The water killed people, but now it saves people. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. Yes. Okay. With believer baptism, there's a pledge first, and then baptism follows. If you do the infant baptism route, you have the baptism, but then the pledge to follow, or the accepting of God, comes later on. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, yes. Baptism alone does not save us again. Remember that. A few weeks ago, we'd hit that. In Mark, we'd said that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You got to believe also. And it said that's even more serious because he who does not believe is already condemned. You can look it up there, Mark. So, absolutely. And then resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Yes, all in submission to Jesus. Part of the Godhead, the triune God. So yeah, the rest of that follows pretty well, and it makes sense. All right, except for the preaching the spirits in prison from the days of Noah. That part still doesn't make sense. Okay, but the sacrifice part, that is the part that really hit me here. And sacrifices are something that are cross-cultural. As I was researching this week, I was talking about pretty near every civilization out there has a form of religious belief, and many, if not all of them, involve sacrifice. Sacrifice. And the ultimate sacrifice, then, is a blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament, that's a big deal, as you recall. When you read through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the blood sacrifice is a big deal. Because blood is regarded by the Jews as a sacred life force. The blood was the life of the organism. You lose your blood, you lost your life. Well, I guess it makes sense, right? Okay. So they thought that the blood was very sacred as a result, and God made use of that as well. The blood was used for cleansing and purification. Remember the dedication of the tabernacle and later the temple. They would take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar. They blood and they would cleanse the utensils. The blood, they would cleanse everything with blood, which is maybe not really cleansing in our eyes, you know, but making it... But it made it holy. It made it set apart is what it did. The blood was used for cleansing and purification. The blood also for atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the one big day of the year when the Jews would come to the temple and the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, just that one day a year. And blood was used then for cleansing as well. You know, you had the temple, and then you had the holy place, only the priests could go, and then the Holy of Holies, that was only entered one day a year by one person. And the tradition has it, they even tied a rope around his leg in case he keeled over while he was in there. Nobody could go in to pull him out, right? You couldn't leave a dead body in there, so they could always pull him back out with that rope. But that's how serious this was. And in Hebrews 9:22, I wanted to just read that one verse there too, because this really speaks to this. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, yes, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Alrighty, luckily, Jesus shed his blood and we can be forgiven by the one time for all perfect sacrifice. But that was their life. A lot of sacrifices were made at the temple. It was a busy place. And I can imagine the smells and stuff as they're gutting out all these animals and pouring out all the blood and everything else. But no, it shows the seriousness of sin is what it does. The blood, the life force being shed, life being given, shows us how serious sin is. Sin, rebellion against God, is one way to sum it up. Rebelling against God, the God who gave you life, the God who gives you everything good. Yet we rebel, like a bunch of teenagers. We rebel against this God by sinning, by choosing other things other than Him. Things that separate us from God. We want to be close to Him. Times are great when you're close to God. Sometimes you feel a little bit further away. Sometimes you feel way far away. Well, I'm moving both hands, but that's not the case. God does not move. We move away from Him or closer to Him, but He does not move. He is steadfast. He is our rock. So these things separate us from God. They get between us and God. They distract us from God. And sin is offensive to God. He is a jealous God. He wants our loyalty. He wants our devotion. He wants our love. Indeed, He gives us love. So if something gets between us and we choose other things other than Him, yeah, it's offensive to God. Talk about the one person you don't want to offend, God. And the wages of sin are death. Continuing to sin will lead to spiritual death, everlasting, eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. Separation from all that is good. I don't want anybody to experience that. I want eternity with God. But yet this sin thing is not taken seriously today. Back then, I think sin was maybe taken a little more seriously, but today it's not. People think they can do whatever the heck they want. That we can make our own laws, we can make our own truths, we can say that this is okay, when God says clearly it's not. And that is the big problem today. The sin has been trivialized. Or people, whatever. No, it's a big deal to God. And if you believe in God, you got to take sin seriously. Anything that seeks to distract you, to pull you away from God. So again, people think they can make their own rules, and they expect us now to agree with it. Basically, expecting us to bow to other gods, to agree with what they say is true or acceptable. No, absolutely not. In a loving way, we have to say no, thank you. Because even approving of such things is wrong. Romans 1:32, if you were to skip to that real quick here. Should have tabbed that one, but it won't be that hard to find. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, that's us, the innocent bystanders, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. I guess it was talking about those that do them, but also those that approve of those who practice them. Yeah. And this is where it gets to be that tightrope once again. We are in this world. We are surrounded by people that are making other choices. And they have that right. Absolutely. They have the right to go against God. But don't expect me to approve of it. I'm going to stand firm for what I believe in a loving way once again. I'll have friendships and everything else with these people that are going the other way. Absolutely. Spend time with them. Absolutely. Associate with them. Absolutely. Who did Jesus associate with? Sinners. We're following His model, right? So I'll associate with all these other people. No worries. I'll be happy to do so. And ultimately, hopefully, they will inspect their ways, see the error of their ways, and come about to align themselves with Scripture. But again, the sin is a big deal. That's why the blood is being poured out, because of sin. And it's still a big deal today. It still is. If you know of people that are going down other roads and stuff like that, maintain the relationships, okay? Be friendly. Be loving, for goodness sakes. Show them love. That's what Jesus is all about. People going down other roads, He showed them love. And we are called to do the same. All right, back to the sacrifices. That's what we're focusing on here. And sin, then the blood sacrifice is a way to remove the sin. And it would do it for a little while, but now we've got Jesus who took it away once and for all, right? So these sacrifices stopped after 70 AD. Jerusalem, the temple were destroyed. The Romans finally came in, leveled everything. Temples, you know, Jesus said, there will be not one stone on top of another. Absolutely. Romans saw to that. So then sacrifices ceased after that. They didn't have the sacrifices anymore. Before that, in about 32 AD, Jesus had sacrificed. And that's what Romans is telling us here, that Jesus sacrificed once for all, as John read this morning. And by that will, verse 10, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So no longer a daily sacrifice. Jesus paid the ultimate price in blood, in suffering. We are free thanks to him. And his sacrifice was big. It was once for all, but it was also different in a couple of ways. A traditional sacrifice was offered by the people to God. We bring a lamb, we bring a calf, we offer it to God. It's offered by the people. Jesus' sacrifice was offered by Jesus, by God, for us. Isn't that backwards? We give sacrifice to God. Here's God's giving the sacrifices for our benefit. How backwards is that? So that's different about Jesus' sacrifice. Also, sacrifices were typically many times offered in payment for a sin that you had committed. You committed a sin, so okay, we give a sacrifice afterwards. His sacrifice was in advance for us, 2,000 years in advance, and for all people, all that are willing to accept him. So a couple things that really stood out to me as different. We're offering it usually, and instead God here offers it, and usually it's after the fact, and here it's before the fact. Okay, the result anyway, as John read 17 and 18, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Now we are worthy to come before God because of what he has done. We could not live a perfect life. We could not follow the law, the Old Testament laws. Nobody could follow them perfectly. Jesus did live the perfect life. He did give the sacrifice for us. In verse 18, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. No longer any sacrifice for sin. It is finished. So do we still sacrifice today? I would say yes, but in a different form. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we offer our bodies now instead of blood of animals. We offer ourselves up to God that he would use us. As I've said before, this is my prayer before I get out of bed every morning. God, however you want to use me today, have at it. I offer myself up to you. Just opening the door, however he wants to use me. I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe I'll say something or do something that gets through to someone and it's God through me, right? Because I'm offering myself up for his service. So yes, we do sacrifice. And we give our best. The unblemished lamb is what was required, right? We sacrifice in our relationships with others. In marriage, it's got to be a compromise. Both sides be willing to sacrifice a little bit. Okay, I'll go shopping with you. Then later on, maybe I'll go fishing with you or something, you know. We sacrifice. And it can't be one-sided, okay? It has to be a little bit of giving from both sides if it's to be equal there. But, I don't even really have to sacrifice much with Jill. It's just, it's good, and it's all great. But when we first got married, I was used to living my own way for 30-some years, doing what I wanted, when I wanted. Did it feel like a sacrifice at first? Well, all of a sudden, you got to take someone else into consideration. And also for her, she had been living about the same amount of time. And yeah, all of a sudden, you have to take another person's needs into consideration and place their needs above your own, like Jesus told us to. So yes, we sacrifice all the time in different forms. Again, sacrifice was important to God. And then finally, just visiting the gospel to wrap it up here. Sacrifice was important to God, extremely important, but there's something even more important. Even more important. What could be more important than that? Well, that's what we got in the gospel today. So if we transport ourselves back a couple thousand years, here we're in Jerusalem, probably at the temple, and the Sadducees had just raised questions to try to corner Jesus, and he'd put them down, and then this observer, this teacher of the law, a Pharisee, saw it. And noticing that Jesus had given him a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Why did he ask this? What was his motive? What was his purpose? I'm still wondering that. He must have had a reason. And Jesus then gives an answer. The most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, everything you are. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, the teacher then, the teacher of the law, said, you're right in saying that. And he's telling Jesus he's right. Okay, yeah. Absolutely. He had no idea who he was talking to. You're right in saying that to love him with all your heart, your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself is more important. And here's the important part. To love God and to love others is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. All of them. So burnt offerings and sacrifices are very important to God. He had set very rigid expectations on how to sacrifice in the Old Testament and how it was to be done. It's very important to him, but there's something that's more important, okay? And that's the burnt, that is to love God and love others. So more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus thinks this guy's getting it. Indeed, when Jesus saw it, he had answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. This guy's getting it. The kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God inside of you when you give yourself over to God completely. This guy's almost there by that understanding. Our motto here at Shalom is to love God, to love others, and to serve well. So there we have it once again. More important than burnt offerings and sacrifices to love God and love others. So as we go out from here today, and indeed every day of our life, let us sacrifice ourselves to God. Just let him use you. Ask him to use you. You're going to find out later on, someone will say, hey, remember that time you said this or did that? No, I don't. Wow, that really opened it up to me. It made a difference to me. Okay, well, it was God through me. I'll give glory to him. He's going to use you in incredible ways as you sacrifice yourself, as you offer yourself up. He's going to use you for his kingdom, for his purposes, for his will, for good things. So continue to sacrifice. Continue to offer yourselves up for God's service that he may use you to make a difference in this world. Amen.